day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places and Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and what we're doing here these days is we're going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. I also have a website. My name's Nicholas, by the way, and my website is crosstheborder.org. I invite you to visit the website, take advantage of the Bible studies there. If you're not familiar with this program or you're a new listener, please go there and download and listen to the Bible studies there for free. I suggest you start with, say, the book of Genesis and just move on from there. I believe that you'll find a lot of new insight into the scripture that you definitely will not get from your corporate church. You have to remember that your corporate church, they have a limitation on speech by their agreement with the state. And that agreement says that their speech cannot violate public policy just because the state is not enforcing that law at this time does not mean that they will not at some time in the future enforce that policy vigorously, because believe me, the time is coming. I believe I received a small revelation yesterday. The word is going around that about the CONCON, and yes, that is referring to a constitutional convention. I guess I'm starting out the program today with a little commentary on prophecy. And what does that have to do with a constitutional convention? Well, if you've been with me very long, if you've gone through the Bible studies that that are there on my website on Daniel and the book of and the Revelation of John, you know that I hold to the belief that the second beast of the book of Revelation is America. That's right, it is America, because that second beast is a nation, beast referring to nation, because all of the nations are typified by beasts and the attributes of those beasts and so forth. So the second beast that rose up in the wilderness, as opposed to the first beast that rose up in the multitudes or are out of the sea, and very little research to find out what the sea is a reference to in prophecy. Of course, we use the scripture to interpret the scripture, and that's where we get our interpretation from. So we have the beast that rose up in the wilderness, and, well, America rose up in the wilderness, did it not? And it had two horns and like a lamb. So we know that this beast was lamb-like once, and a beast speaks by its laws, so a beast has lamb-like laws, and if one of the founding principles of this nation is that all men are created equal, and that's another way of saying you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Think about it for a minute. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If all men are created equal, then you have to consider your neighbor equal, and you cannot rule over him. You are equal to him. You're basically brothers, and you have to treat him the way that you want to be treated. So you see that lamb-like principle? That's one of the highest lamb-like principles. It's right after, thou shalt love the Lord your God. And the second commandment, he said, was like unto it, thou shalt love your neighbors yourself. So beginning with that lamb-like principle, and I mean, we can just, all day long, we could add to the lamb-like principles that this nation was founded on. Free speech, freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, right to property rights, a barter system, you know, a real monetary system rather than a fiat monetary system. Of course, we're talking about the founding, not what has come about since then. But the scripture says this lamb-like beast will begin to speak like a dragon. And that means the laws are going to change because all nations speak through their law. So those laws that give us the lamb-like liberties and attributes to the second beast of Revelation are going to be done away with by law. And that's that was the revelation that I had yesterday or the day before here very recently, is that they're trying to push this constitutional constitutional convention. That's what it is. Lost the words there for a minute. And I believe that this is going to happen because they've ignored the Constitution for a long time, but it is there and the people are always referring back to it. It does keep them in check to a degree. It keeps them from running roughshod over us completely, though we can see that if they have a constitutional convention, that they will completely write out all of the lamb-like features, all of the liberties that America became great and became famous for. And all of those liberties today of which we still enjoy a vestige of those liberties. And, well, if you've done any research into world constitutions and things like that, just, you know, get your Google's engine out there and type in world constitution or a new constitution and phrases like that, and you will be astounded at what comes up. To a godless, unbelieving world, unregenerate world, their constitutions sound pretty good. But they strip us of every God-given liberty that we have, and they make the state into a god. That's right. Because when your rights come from the state, rather than from God, which all the new constitutions do, and all of the proposed new constitutions do, the state grants, or the government grants all of your rights and privileges. That makes the state or the government your new god. Your rights are not God-given anymore. They're given by the government. And they can, guess what, be taken away by the government at the whim of the government. So I believe that when they come up with the Constitutional Convention, then surely the second beast that was founded as lamb-like, that's right, rose up in the wilderness, had two horns like a lamb, I believe that it will begin to speak like a dragon, because all of our God-given rights will be stripped. It will no longer be all men are created equal, and it will be everything is granted by the government. And you can see what's going on with the hate crimes. You can see where it's going to go, and you can see what's happening right now. In places like, what has happened in Waco, what's happening now in Arkansas with the Alamo Ministries, you can see what's going on. And then, truly, once that image is created, because that will change the image of America as the lamb-like beast into an image of the first beast, when it speaks like a dragon, the dragon means that it will become a persecuting power. That's right. And its image will be that. It will create or recreate itself into the image of the first beast, and it will cause all men, great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to worship the image and to receive that mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And let me tell you about the mark. It's not a Verichip. It's not a chip, although you can get a chip today if you want one. That's not what it is. Because the word in is epi, and that's not under the skin. That's in the hand. Like you hold something in your hand, like I could hold a card in my hand. And let's see, I'm holding a card in my hand. And on the card, there's a 9-digit number. And it's in my hand. The card blew away and I lost it. That's right. But not to worry, because I have it in my forehead. That's right, it's in the front of my mind. That's what it means in your forehead. It's not this nonsense about a tattoo or a Verichip under the skin, because the word, research it for yourself. Get out your Strong's Concordance and look up the word in, and you'll find that it is epi, where it would be hypo if it were the opposite. Because everyone knows what a hypodermic is. It means under the skin. It goes in the skin, and that's what the Verichip is. It's hypodermic. It's hypodermis, under the skin. But that's not what the mark is. It's in your hand, and if you lose it, it's still in your forehead because it's in the front of your mind. And I'll tell you what, everyone remembers their number, don't they? Yes, they do. It's a scary thought, isn't it? And, well, you know, if you're not convinced, I challenge you to live, let's make it easy. 90 days without using the number or anything that's associated with it. And you know, most people won't do it. You know why? Because it's inconvenient. And if you won't do it because it's inconvenient, what makes you think that when your life is at stake or the lives of your children are at stake, that you will be able to deny the mark then or recant your faith in Christ then? Because it is a monetary mark. And I believe if you follow it through, you'll find that all roads lead to Rome. And behind the scenes, you'll find that first beast. Yes, I'm talking about the Vatican. The Vatican is really the capital of the world. The Vatican is really the capital of the world. The capital of the world, there are three city-states that rule the world. The religious capital of the world is the Vatican. It's a city-state, has its own seat in the UN. Yes, it is a city-state. It is the little horn. And then there's London. Yes, there's London proper, but there's London financial. And it also is a city-state, sovereign. It's not part of the UK. That's right. So you have two city-states there. What's the third city-state? So you have the religious capital of the world. You have the financial capital of the world. And they are the Pope's bankers. You can research that too. The keeper of the Pope's treasury. And so what's the other one? Why isn't Washington, D.C.? Is Washington, D.C. one of the United States of America? Well, no, that would be number 51 if it was, wasn't it? So it's not. It's a 10-mile square sovereign territory under its own jurisdiction, and it is the military capital of the world. Yeah, what in the world is going on? Now, do a little research into that, too, while you're at it, and maybe you'll start to put the pieces together as to what in the world really is going on and who really runs things and who really is God of this world. Yes, there's only one God of this world. He wears a seven-tiered crown on his head, and it says Vicaris Filii Dei, and the number of the name is 666. It's a Latin name, Vicaris Filii Dei, and the number of that name in Latin, Roman numerals. You know, everyone's heard of Roman numerals, haven't they? Vicaris Filii Dei adds up to 666. It couldn't be any plainer than the nose on your face. Of course, you can go off and believe the futurist fantasy that they've been putting out in these left-behind movies. You know, I'll tell you what, the money powers, they allow what they want to prosper. And if they don't like it, they draw back the funding. And then if it gets too big, they persecute it and defame it, or kill the people that are behind it, or put them in prison, or withdraw all the funds and support, or defame their character in the media. That's how they control things. See, not everyone who is adding to the conspiracy is like this LaHaye guy and other guy, whoever they are, that wrote the book Left Behind. You know, when they were writing that book, you know, they bought into the Jesuit eschatological theology of the futurist theology. And they wrote these books, Left Behind, and, you know, the whole fantasy, we're all going to be raptured out, and this Antichrist character is going to rise up out of a reassembled Roman Empire or some nonsense like that. Rome is already here. The King of Rome, he sits over there in the Vatican on that, you know, it's already here. It's not some fantasy in the future that's never going to happen. But see, they allowed that to prosper by giving them the money, by getting the media. Yes, they control the mainstream Christian media too. They fund what they want through all of their corporations. And you'll notice only corporate ministries prosper in their system. So they allow to prosper what furthers their message and what furthers their agenda. That's what they allow to prosper in their media and in their banking system. And I'll tell you what, and here's a warning for all of you ministries out there that are 501c3, you're in bed with the state. And yes, I'm thinking of the Tony Alamo Ministries. The biggest mistake was going 501c3. Because when you go 501c3, your new master is the state where you can incorporate, and if you violate public policy, you're breaking your contract with the state, number one. Number two, you have an agreement with the IRS because they give you a tax-exempt status, and you violate your agreement with them. Because going against Rome, that is political speech. Because Rome is a state, a city-state, sovereign in the world. And they're going after you because you're using their system against them. That's right. And they don't like it. And they will take you down. And here's another check for you. Because if you don't go 501c3 and take tax-deductible donations, you will never get big enough to threaten them. That's right. Instead, what'll happen is you'll get so big and you won't get any bigger, but here's what'll happen is you'll reproduce. That's right. And then they're going to have 100 targets, maybe 1,000 targets to one big one. And that's the lesson, that's one of the lessons we need to take away from the Tony Alamo case and the Waco case. Well, I don't know if Waco was tax exempt. There are lessons to be taken away from all of these atrocities that happen to God's people. And we need to take every lesson we can. And yes, we need to support those people in their tribulation. But we need to have our eyes wide open and understand why the tribulation came. So our Heavenly Father has put a check. We shouldn't be in bed with the state. And if we're not in bed with the state, that'll keep us from getting too big and bringing too much attention to our ministry. And instead of one big target for the enemy, he'll have 1,000 small ones. And which one is he going to defeat easier? The one big one, rather than the 1,000 small ones. So I would rather reproduce 1,000 times and give the enemy 1,000 targets than to have all of those people be part of my ministry so the enemy could just strike at the root. Something to be learned there. It's like, you know, the cop that's waiting to stop somebody on the highway. If there's 100 people speeding, he can only stop one. If you're the only one on the road and you're speeding, he's going to stop you. You know, that's an illustration for you. So I'd rather be with 100 people speeding than be the lone speeder out there when the cop is hiding behind the billboard. So, and the speeders are yes, we are hot for the kingdom of God. And of course our enemy would be the policeman who wants to stop us and harass us on the way and keep us from doing our Heavenly Father's work. But through it all, we realize, we know that all things work together for good to those that love our Heavenly Father, for those that are called according to His purpose. And for the others out there, things ain't going to work out too good for them. I was like to give you the flip side of the coin there. So all of those others that don't love God, I'm telling you right now, get on your knees and pray that prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner, and I can't save myself. I don't want to pay the price for my own sins, because that's death, and I won't be able to rise again. That's right. And teach me how to love You, because I want things to work out for my good. Because Your word says all things work for good to those that love Him, that love You. So teach me, Heavenly Father, how to love You. And I'll tell you what, you pray that prayer with a sincere heart. Because I prayed that prayer even after being a Christian for so many years. Reading the Bible on my own, I discovered that, wow, you know, God gave us a commandment. The greatest commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God. And I started questioning myself. So do I really love Him? What does it mean to love You? And He showed me His law. So He answered that prayer for me. And now I know what it means to love Him. It means that I want to live a life that pleases Him. I want to live a life, I want to have His law written on my heart and in my mind that I might not sin against Him. That's what it means to love God, that we do not want to do anything that displeases Him. And when we figure that out, we can know that we are walking in the liberty of the sons of God. That's right. That's liberty. We are free to not sin. We are free to escape death because He's writing His law on our are in our minds and our hearts. And the scripture says that he might be our God and that we might be his people. Then we're truly in his kingdom. Because as I said earlier, a kingdom speaks through its laws. God's laws are never going to change. What is sin? You can always count on it being sin. And you can always count on his law, that he's not going to invent new laws to incriminate and turn you into a criminal. And another beautiful thing about our Heavenly Father, he does judge the heart. And he is the righteous judge. And his law is righteous and holy, and it is good. And if we really love him, then we will sincerely desire to do only those things to please him. Even if, because of our practice of wickedness in the past, we are not able to walk and not able to stand. Every time we fall, we repent and we reach for his hand and we say, help me, Father. I don't want to continue in sin. I don't want to continue in a life that's not pleasing to you. Teach me how to love you. Teach me obedience to your commandments. And our Heavenly Father says, if you ask him for bread, will he give you a stone? No. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border.